Next case for argument is Abdel Mumin versus Ashcroft. Mr. Nubani?
Good morning, judges, counsel, may it please the court, counsel. My name is Zohair Nubani, and I am here on behalf of the petitioner, Mr. Melky.
Hello.
Sorry. Your Honor, this is an appeal from the denial of Melky's petition for either asylum or withholding of deportation that was made by the immigration judge. The immigration judge held that Mr. Melky had not suffered past persecution or that he had a well-founded fear of future persecution. The immigration judge's determinations made a determination that he was not a refugee. And these determinations that were made by the immigration judge were, we believe, in contrary to the evidence. In INS v. Elias, the Supreme Court decision that was handed down, they ruled that an immigration judge's decision is reversible if the evidence presented was such that a reasonable fact finder would conclude to the contrary. And in this case, in analyzing the claim for withholding of deportation or asylum which the petitioner was seeking, three issues should be addressed, and this is pursuant to statute and various case law, including Cardozo, which is also a U.S. Supreme Court decision. Your Honor, the three analyses are: one, is the conduct that's claimed to be persecution of the nature to be classified as such, one. Two, is the conduct directed to the particular applicant on the basis of one of the five factors, which is basically race, religion, nationality, membership in a particular social group, or political opinion. And three, a determination of whether the petitioner has carried his burden of showing that there is a clear possibility of persecution or there is a well-founded fear of future persecution. The two core possibility or well-founded fear deal with either withholding of deportation or asylum as a refugee. Number one, the conduct that is complained of as persecution. In this case, Mr. Melky was threatened with death by armed resistance groups in Algeria, an Islamic terrorist group that has been stated as such by the United States Department profile that was submitted in this case and country reports. This court has ruled that threats in the proper context constitute persecution, as in Lula versus INF, and persecution has been defined by...
But there are literally millions of army veterans in Algeria. What makes Melky special?
The thing that makes Melky, I believe we started to a case that was decided by the Ninth Circuit, in which a former military veteran, just as in this case, was singled out by a group that the government could not control. By a group that the government could not control because of his past military inscription. Now, him being a veteran of the military is a member of a particular social group or representing, by analogy, the opinion of the government, because by being in the army, he represents the government. While there might have been a million people who served in the Algerian military, however, if he was specifically stated by a group, then he has received a threat.
But how do we know that the threat was connected with his military background?
Because we know we have in the record that a neighbor of his who is also in the military and a veteran was killed, and his body was decapitated and parts and limbs were strewn around the neighborhood. And we also know because when they came to his home looking for him, they specifically asked for him by a particular name that was used only in the military.
And most women came to the hospital not identified with it.
As far as the record states, they were not identified specifically by name, but there were no members of the GIA.
No, I didn't. Is that right? The record shows that?
They were not identified by name, but they were known to
be. I understand that his parents or the twin man came to the house and asked for anybody's nickname. But that wasn't there.
They asked by his name used in the military.
Right.
That's right. He was not there. That's right, Your Honor.
But they didn't know who these three men were.
But they didn't know them, meaning they didn't know their names, they didn't know their...
Did they say that they were members of this group?
As far as, if things have been imputed, as far as the record, they didn't have anything saying, you know, we are
not members. No, the record doesn't show that anybody knew what their connection was. But is it surmise?
Correct.
Okay. Maybe a deadly accurate surmise, but it was a surmise. You're in your rebuttal time, mister.
Okay. Just very quickly, as I did state, there were two cases that were decided by the Ninth Circuit, and that was Ortega Torres versus the INS, in which it held that a petitioner who was a veteran of the armed forces, who was also threatened the same way, was found that there was a clear probability of persecution. And an indirect threat, in this case, since Mr. Malky was not there when this happened, we have another Ninth Circuit case, and that was Conjure Flores versus the INS, which Ninth Circuit also held that an indirect threat, a credible indirect threat made by a third party, that there was evidence of persecution. And just very quickly, I would like to say that the fact that they might bring it up, that it was a while before he left the country, he was in hiding the entire time before leaving Algeria, and he never came back. Thank you.
But on this main business, is it anything more than that these mysterious visitors asked for him by his full name, asked for him by his full name?
Well, their manner was threatening, and they said that we would be back for him.
No, I'm saying they were threatening, but you said in your brief that his friends call him, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Moment.
Okay, friends call him Moment, but his full first name is Abdul Moment.
Correct.
Well, clearly they weren't friends, so you wouldn't expect them to ask for him by what his friends call him. They're clearly enemies. The question is whether enmity is based on his military service.
The reason that it is based on his military service is because members of the military are being singled out, have been singled out in Algeria, and the neighbor who was also in the military service was also killed.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Nabani.
Thank you.
Mr. Petnato.
Good morning, Your Honor. Barry Petnato appearing on behalf of the respondent, John Ashcroft. The immigration judge in this case found that there was neither past persecution or a well-founded fear of persecution. That decision was clearly supported by substantial evidence.
What about the murder of the neighbor?
Your Honor, the murder of the neighbor we know very little about. We only know two things. One, he was a former military, and in fact he was killed by people that they believed were members of the GIA. That's all we know. We don't know why. There's no explanation as to what the unaccounted basis was for killing this man. It could have been a personal grudge. It could have been any number of things. The record is simply devoid of anything that would indicate why they killed him. Petitioner would have you assume that they killed him because of his former military service, but there's nothing in the record to substantiate that. The only incident that could constitute past persecution in this case was the sole visit by what they surmised to be GIA members coming to the parents' home and asking for Mr. Malky by his official name and saying they would return. That's the entire extent of the incident that occurred. In fact, they never returned in the following 18 months that Mr. Malky remained living in Algeria. And so that's the sum of what actually happened. And this court would really need to look no further than its own decisions in Elwin and Borsa.
Did he go into hiding after this visit by these three people?
No, no, I want to pick that up because the record, I don't believe that the record reflects that. In his brief, in the petitioner's brief at page 10, he starts to a reference in the transcript at page 37, which I'm not quite sure what is. In actuality, it's the administrative record at page 92. That isn't very clear that he went into hiding for 18 months. What it is clear about is that he went into hiding for 1 week with his, at his grandmother's house. After that, I've read that page a number of times, and it's not clear to me that he actually went into hiding for the 18 months, which they alleged that he did. And I think something that the court could look to clarify this point would be in the administrative record at page 221. During his credible fear interview, that was when the Immigration Service initially interviewed him to see whether he had a lower threshold of credible fear in order to place him in to removal proceedings. And there's a question and answer interview during that credible fear interview, and in fact, if you must read the record at page 221, he actually says he went into hiding only for 1 week. I think the reasonable inference reading from the record is that he returned to his parents' house after 1 week. And in fact, in petitioner's brief, on page 9, they indicate that prior to his flight from Nigeria, he remained living at his parents' house. It's almost as if there's a confession there that, in fact, he was living at his parents' house. I don't think that the record supports that he was in hiding. And during that 18 months, it's important to note that the GIA never returned to his parents' house, never asked about him. Nothing happened. From there, he went on to Romania with his father, then he went on to Malaysia with his father. First 18 months in I believe it was about 18 months in Romania, and then 2 years in Malaysia. It was 5 years after the incident actually occurred that he came to the United States and was applying for asylum 5 years after the event, this June 1994 event. I'd like to actually just to use the remainder of my time to talk about his well-founded fear, because I don't believe there's anything in the record where the court could find him as actually past persecution, so that only leaves is there a well-founded fear. The well-founded fear component is made up of two parts, a subjective fear and an objective fear. Clearly, undermining his subjective fear is the fact that he remained living in Algeria for 18 months before he departed.
Well, he couldn't get...
He couldn't get a travel document, right.
So that doesn't help him much.
The other thing is, I believe, as I just indicated, the ref, he was in Algeria, and in fact, I don't believe he was actually hiding. In terms of the objective component, there's no evidence that the GIA was still looking for him.
The GIA is still active in Algeria, though.
I believe so. I believe the foreign state is still recognized as a terrorist organization. In his brief at page 10, he actually concedes that the GIA has not continued to search for him. Have never come back, never asked about him before. There's other evidence, objective evidence, that would indicate that there's really no interest by the GIA in him. That's the fact that his parents and his three sisters and two brothers remain living in Algeria and have never been harmed. His father...
Are those brothers veterans also?
There is one brother. He actually has one brother, and the record reflects that one of his brothers is a former military. There's nothing to indicate that the GIA have ever pursued him.
What's his father's position with the foreign ministry?
His father is an accountant. He's in the diplomatic corps. Apparently he travels overseas extensively. And his brother works, I believe, for the Ministry of Physical Fitness or Physical Health or something to that effect. He's a long-term government employee. And neither one of them have ever been harmed in any way. The only evidence in the record that they even point to that the GIA has sought out or targeted former members of the military is in the profile of asylum claims in Algeria, on page 9 of that profile. And in fact, it doesn't reflect that there's been any interest by the GIA in former members of the military. It does indicate that the time that the report was written, that the GIO was interested in the current members of the security forces and the current members of the government. However, there's nothing in there that they, to even suggest that they've gone after from the military. And as you point out, Judge Posner, there's thousands of fighters of the ex-military, and they haven't pursued those people. Finally, this whole claim is well founded here, simply just too speculative. There's nothing specific, there's no detailed facts showing that a reasonable basis that he'd be persecuted in the future. Accordingly, unless there's any other questions, I'd ask the court to deny the petition for review.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Pettinato. Mr. Navani, do you have 2 minutes?
Rebuttal. In reference to the question of going into hiding, I do not agree with counsel that he went straight back to his house after 1 week. The record is clear that after the incident, he went to his grandmother's house where he was for a week, and then in the transcript, if you read over the transcript, he says, "I was in hiding." He doesn't say specifically where, etc. So we have to take it from his testimony that he was hiding from these people, that he was not a parent in the home. It took him a while to get travel documents because of the situation in Algeria in order to leave. In reference to his brother being in the military, he was in the military 10 years before that date he testified to. This was in the mid-80s, before these problems arose in Algeria. If you followed the record, the problems arose in 92 after aborted elections, and it's been continuing on and off since that time. So the issue of his brother not being specifically targeted, I think, is not the point here. The point about his father being an accountant with the government, yes, that's true, and he has testified to that. However, he's also testified to, and there's no rebuttal, that the GIO doesn't necessarily know everyone who's associated with the government. They specifically didn't know about his father. If they had, he said he probably would have been followed, as have many people who are members of the government have been killed. And as far as the subjective and objectiveness of it, I believe that Mr. Malki has shown an objective well-founded fear of future persecution because of the incident that happened, and one incident is enough under the case law that we cited to. And thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Devani. We'll move to our